Good morning. God gives us his greeting and worship this morning with the words of the angel given to the women at the tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we praise God that we can join in the celebration with the worldwide church today of the fact of Jesus' resurrection. We welcome you here as well today to Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Toronto. We are here meeting virtually, worshiping God, praising God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ in which we believe. I hope you enjoyed that bit of artwork this morning. We thank those who participated. We thank you all for participating, especially those who colored in some of the letters just to share, and for Paul and for Irene and for Justine for putting that together for us, and for Ed as well for putting that together for us. You know, it's our tradition here to place flowers on the cross, and they are placed for you. Normally in a worship service on Easter Sunday, we would place those together so that we could all participate. So we had the artwork at home this year in lieu of that because of COVID, of course. But we do want you to know that the cross of flowers will be taken out, as we've done the last 2 years, and placed by the sign as an offering to the neighborhood to say, come and take a flower and enjoy just a little bit of this symbol of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and new life in Jesus. We put together a simple yet lovely worship service together for you this morning. Various gifts have been offered, gifts of music, some of which you've already enjoyed. Later in the service, we'll share our congregational prayer time by the seven ministers of the local ministerial who have all gotten together and produced a prayer which represents the unity that we have in Christ on this Easter Sunday of a worldwide church worshiping Jesus together. And then later on in the live service, we will share the Lord's Supper together, which is a joy to be doing here on Easter Sunday. So worship God with us. We pray that you will enjoy this time and that you will be drawn closer to God from being together with us on this Easter Sunday. If you are able to rise in body and spirit, please do so now, and let's praise the Lord our God together.
One with the Father. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Praise God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us new life and hope. He has raised Jesus from the dead, claiming us as his own, bringing us out of darkness, making us light to the world. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Prayer of Confession. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledge his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the way of the world and failed to give him the glory. Forgive us. Raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Amen. Hear this assurance of God's gracious pardon. When you were dead in trespasses, God made you alive together with him, Christ. When he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them all.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. As he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, one with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's precious cry,
once again, the ministers of the Central Etobicoke Ministerial gather to share with you a prayer for Holy Week. Let us pray. O God of eternity, praise and honor to the one who raised Lazarus from the dead as a foreshadow of the coming days. Blessings and honor to the one who marched triumphantly into Jerusalem, who turned over the tables in the temple, who taught his disciples to be the least of these. Glory and power to the one who submitted to the will of the Father, who broke bread with the one who would betray, who washed the feet of the one who would deny, who healed the ear of the one who would arrest, and in his faithfulness will win victory over sin and death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Pray.
O God of peace, within our lives and relationships, and in communities around the world, we face conflict and antagonism. We pray for places where violence and cruelty seem to win the day, for countries where war cuts down innocent bystanders, where divisions lead to the abuse of power and belittling of opponents, where unreasonable force is used to quell dissent. Loving God, send your Spirit to work among troubled nations and give us peace in our time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God of hope, the world has been confusing and bleak during the pandemic.
but you pierce the darkness with hope and renewed vision. We give you thanks for new discoveries to ease suffering, for wisdom and resources shared, for courageous service that restores hope and brings healing. And as we remember Jesus' sacrifice, we pray for those who are ill and dying, and for those who are bereaved or feel any burden of loss. Renew our trust in your resurrecting love. We give you thanks for those who have died and abide with you. Keep us united with them and bring us together with you at the last. Loving God, send your Spirit to work in troubled lives and give us hope in our time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. O God of community, we pray for the Church of Christ here and throughout the world. Unite it in witness and service as it responds to the many needs around it. Where the pandemic has challenged its ability to minister, restore its vigor and grace. Nurture our calling to unique ministries wherever we serve. Loving God, send your Spirit to equip the Church for the future and give us courage in our time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God of all our days, we thank you for the moments of joy and celebration, for pleasure given and received throughout of the months of distancing. We thank you, too, for times of quiet reflection. We remember before you those who feel lonely or bitter, fearful or anxious, and those who must walk through dark valleys of grief and loss. Be their comfort and encouragement. Open our hearts to love anyone in difficulty more deeply. Loving God, send your Spirit to mend the brokenhearted and give us joy in our time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
O God of life, you have fed us all out of your own generous and gracious hands. From them we have received welcome, nourishment, hope, and consolation. May these things grow in us alongside the gift of faith, so that we may plant their seeds in the world around us. Through the Holy Spirit, guide us in the days ahead to remember our place in your great and ongoing story of resurrection, redemption, and restoration through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
O love from heaven to earth come down. You made us to live in communion with you and one another. We remember before you our families, whether we are close to one another or estranged. We remember our friends, whether nearby or far away. Bless the relationships that bring meaning to our lives and sustain our care for each other. Loving God, send your Spirit to bless all those who connect to us and give us love in our time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And now, Lord, hear us as we pray together in the words of our own traditions, the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer.
Amen to that. Will you take your Bibles, please, and open to Luke chapter 24. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. The Road to Emmaus story.
Luke chapter 24, verse 13,
we begin. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all those things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked on as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' In that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Our God, we thank you for the resurrection stories. We thank you for the assurance that they give us in our faith. We thank you for the faith that you give us, that we may read the scriptures and read these stories 2,000 years later and know about you, Jesus. Know about your life with us now. So, Lord, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to unite us in understanding as we read and study these words together now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is the story of two followers of Jesus of Nazareth. It's the story of Cleopas and his companion. We don't know his or her name, but Cleopas, at least, must have been known to Luke or the early church. That's why he mentions the name. But still strikes us as odd because this couple seemingly appears out of nowhere. And it reminds us that there were many other disciples, more than those who had been previously named in the gospel, who had yet not come forward, perhaps because they did not have the courage to do so. So they are a representative couple for us of disciples past and present and future. And this is their story, the story as they tell it, a story of shattered dreams. The mood in this passage is, in a word, sad. And the key phrase that they use is, "We had hoped." These three words sum up everything about their story. Because they had found a prophet, and not just any run-of-the-mill prophet, but a prophet who was mighty in word and deed before God. And they had hoped. They had hoped that he was the Messiah. and so much is contained in their description. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. When they say these words, they're perhaps thinking of the golden age of David and Solomon, perhaps the religious golden age or the economic golden age of Solomon. They thought of freedom from occupation. They thought of the time when they could be a nation, where God would be their national God and they would live as God's chosen people. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. To redeem means to buy back. And so they were looking for God to buy them back from their enslavement to the Romans so that they could live and worship free and probably also enjoy the economic benefits that came with such freedom. But all of their hopes were dashed on a Roman cross. Because a Roman cross meant finality. It made sure that its victims were humiliated, stripped of any shred of power, tortured for their alleged crimes, and finished off for good. And all of the dreams that would have been associated with the person on the cross were also finished off for good. And so, here is this couple on the third day. 3 days of sorrow and deep grief. 3 days of disillusionment. 3 days with those words still haunting them in their ears. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then those words, it is finished. And indeed, for them, it was finished. The story of Jesus of Nazareth that they had been following so closely with their personal lives and invested so much was finished. And so their story became one of abandonment and disillusionment and being lost. And then there were those rumors. Dare they believe them? Dare they accept them as glimmers of hope? No, they do not dare. It was too far removed from their sadness and the facts as they saw them right before their eyes. Well, 2,000 years later, we come to Easter with our own stories as well. And our stories, yours and mine, contain highs and lows and joys and sorrows and high hopes and crushing disappointments. Because this is the human condition, the tension of living in the highs and lows of mortal life. The human story also contains epic tales of heroes and fallen heroes and people who had passionate followers in their time. Some of them had temporary success and even glory on this earth. Some became tyrants. Some, seemingly the good ones, were snuffed out all too long. And it just leads to disappointment and disillusionment. I was riding in my car the other day with my son, who's 26 years old, and on came the radio, a song from his youth. And it's a song that has a lot of radio play even now, all these years later. It came out in 2004. It's a song called Boulevard of Broken Dreams. It's by a band called Green Day from their album American Idiot. And that song title, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, encapsulates the entire album, which was an album about the despair of a generation. It's a very interesting album because it was everywhere in 2004. You might remember it from your children or your grandchildren, or if you're a school teacher, you might remember it from the kids in the classroom, because that album was everywhere. That was the time when kids were starting to share music on their personal devices. But it was more than just that, and more than just the commercial success. It had broad appeal among not just the age of the band members, but of the age of, say, my children. My son was 10 years old. My daughter was 12 years old when that came out. And their generation latched onto that album. My son told me he memorized every word of that album when he was 10 years old. Can you believe that? And it had such broad appeal that it went to number one. That song went to number one in the Grammys, and the album was the album of the year as well. Because people latched onto that sense of despair that the album had. because of things like the Iraq War that it was speaking out against, and things like 9/11, and just the way the world seemed to them. Very, very interesting. But that song title, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, encapsulated it. And my son told me that one of the songs from the album called Wake Me Up When September Ends, he said, he heard that song and he said, finally somebody understands me. Well, here we are in the pandemic years later, and some of us might be saying today, wake me up when September ends. But you know, in this pandemic has taken that same generation even further, perhaps further into despair, because this year has been worse than 2004. And even worse for a young generation who has had to put their plans and their dreams on the shelf for a year. But bad as well for all of us who have shelved dreams for the time being. Because in this year we have dealt with disappointment and loss. And we've lived through anxiety and fears, both vague and in our face. You and I are followers of Jesus of Nazareth. But we can also say we had hoped. We had hoped that things would be different, which takes us back to our text. There's a word in the original Greek of this passage which does not appear in our Bible as we read it today. Most modern English versions leave it untranslated. Then the word is behold. The word behold appears 1,298 times in the King James Version, including in this passage here. But our English versions hardly ever use the word behold. It's meant to signify to the reader at the beginning of this passage, look, there's something important that I want you to pay attention to, so behold. And what the reader in this passage is supposed to pay attention to is that this story is not going to end like you expect. Yes, Cleopas and his partner have a sad story to tell, but Jesus enters the scene. Jesus enters the scene and he tells them a very different story. Because in contrast to the sadness of this couple on the road, Jesus' story is full of grace. Grace as Jesus patiently walks with them and listens to their story. Grace as he chides them for their foolishness. Grace as he opens the scripture and appeals not just to their heads, but to their hearts. Grace as he, the guest, becomes the host at their table and offers them hospitality of a meal. And grace as Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of the bread. And oh, to have been a fly in the wall of that conversation as they walked the 11 kilometers along the road. What did Jesus tell them as he opened up the scriptures, beginning with Moses and moving on to the prophets? Did he take them perhaps to God's promise to Adam and Eve, that one of their offspring would crush the serpent's head? Did he take them to the story of Abraham being ready to sacrifice his son, his only son whom he loved, and how God instead gave them a sacrifice in that location which they now walked? Surely Jesus took them to the law to show them how he himself became the fulfillment of that law, and surely also to the sacrifices in the law, for example, the guilt offering, or the lamb for atonement, or perhaps the scapegoat for sin. And undoubtedly he took them to the Psalms, which speak so clearly of Messiah. Psalms like Psalm 2, which speaks of the Anointed One and his power and his reign. Psalm 22, which speaks of the suffering of the Messiah. Psalm 118, which the early church adopted as its very own. And surely, of course, he took them to Isaiah chapter 53. And perhaps all of the beautiful servant songs that are found in Isaiah. And I think he could have spent the entire 11 kilometers just walking them through the Psalms, or just walking them through Isaiah's chapter 40 through 55, which speaks so clearly about Jesus and are written 1,000 years and more before he came. Well, what Cleopas and his partner understood of Jesus with their heads, we are not told. Because it would take the church many, many years to understand what Jesus had done and to understand how the Old Testament scriptures related to him. But what's important to note is this couple understood with their hearts, their burning hearts. And look, behold, There's a new understanding in this. What they experienced in knowing Jesus of Nazareth is that he is the story of God having come to be with humans like themselves. Now God has entered into this most human story of sadness and disappointment and redeemed it by his death and life. And then the miraculous happens. Jesus breaks the bread and their eyes are opened. Jesus had promised the apostles that he would eat the supper with them anew in the kingdom of God, and now here he is eating with these two unknown disciples. And like the women of that morning, whose story had been disbelieved, now they too see the risen Lord and they believe. They recognize and they understand that Jesus is alive. Behold, Jesus is alive. And this, my friends, is grace. And there is grace for us today too. Grace because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has entered into our broken world to be like us, to share our sicknesses, betrayal, and pain. In the person of Jesus, God has entered into our human stories, your story and my story, with its highs and its lows and its joys and its sorrows and its hopes and its disappointments. And he has redeemed our stories by his death and by his life. And this is the gospel which we know. But sometimes after we've lived it for a very long time, we still know it with our heads, but we've forgotten it with our hearts. When was the last time that you heard the gospel story, not with your head, but with your heart? 2 days ago, we tried to tell the story of the Passion with art, because art has a way of moving past our head and into our hearts. So I urge you that even though Good Friday is past, return to the artwork of our Good Friday service. Spend time with it. Let the words go through to your heart. Because in his grace, God provides for our heads in his written word. Because we do need rational explanations. But he also provides for our hearts, for its feeding and for its rewarming. And he does this in a variety of ways, not the least of which is worship, as we do today and every Sunday. But in his grace, he has also given us more. For example, he has given us the sacraments. The sacraments have a distinct and unique way to move past our heads and into our hearts, if we would open our hearts to it. My wife and I have a friend who several years ago fulfilled a social obligation and attended the baptism of her niece, a baby, at a large mainline Canadian church. Our friend was an atheist, the product of modern European skepticism. And while attending that baptism that day, she had a profound experience of the presence of the living Lord Jesus. And after the baptismal service, she told her relatives about it, who said, "Oh, you don't believe that stuff, do you?" But she did believe, because the Lord had appeared to her in a very real way. And she, to this day, is a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Today we come to another sacrament, that of the Lord's Supper. And on the table behind me are the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we remember, as Paul remembered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "For I handed on to you of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared also to me." I'm so glad that this morning we can share the Lord's Supper with you on this Resurrection Sunday. Together with the worldwide church, we celebrate the fact that Jesus was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he conquered death, and that he is alive. Hallelujah! He is alive. By faith we believe that the living Lord is here with us as we eat the supper, according to his promise, and he nourishes our life in the sharing and the receiving of the bread and the wine. Our Belgic confession reminds us of this with these words: This banquet is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself to us with all his benefits. At the table, he makes us enjoy himself as much as the merits of his suffering and death. And he nourishes, strengthens, and comforts our souls, our poor, desolate souls. But I love those words, enjoy himself. At the table, he makes us enjoy himself. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament and it is a grace, because all of Christ's benefits are being communicated to our heads and to our hearts and to our souls, received by the faith which God gives us therein. And again, the Belgic Confession tells us, in speaking of the supper, that in that way Jesus Christ remained always seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, but he never refrains on that account to communicate himself to us through faith. And I am glad that we can share the Lord's Supper by the technology that we've been given during this pandemic lockdown. Of course, it's not exactly the way we would like to do it, but it is what we can do now. And so we do it. And so we, in a sense, even more joined to the worldwide church, because we join the supper virtually. And by the grace given by God, the Lord's Supper is, even virtually, a recognition of the presence of the living Lord in our midst. And like the disciples of old, we sit at table with the Lord. And like these disciples, our eyes are opened by faith to see Jesus anew. So as we eat this morning, remember the good news for you on this Easter Sunday, that the living Lord is here with us and he wants to redeem your story by his resurrection life. Jesus died and has risen. Jesus is alive, hallelujah. He has conquered death and given us victory over death. He redeems us from our sins, and he redeems the stories of our lives. As the Chinese preacher Watchman Nee said, our old story ends with the cross. Our new story begins with the resurrection. Jesus enters the stories of our lives and rewrites them by his own life, giving us new hope, new purpose, and new eternal life. The new story of your life begins today. We end with this poem by Cheryl Laurie of Cape Town, South Africa, a place with more than its share of shattered stories. If you have ever believed that love inevitably leads to betrayal, this day says it doesn't. If you have ever believed that some people are unlovable, irredeemable, this day says they aren't. If you have ever believed that there is a limit to forgiveness, this day says there isn't. If you have ever believed that you aren't worth saving, this day says you are. If you have ever believed that you don't deserve freedom, this day says you do. If you have ever believed that fear, anger, hate, and despair will always win, this day says they won't. Jesus has entered the story. May your eyes be open to the risen Lord and his resurrection life for your story. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for defeating death and including us in your victory. Thank you, Lord, for entering our stories and redeeming them for eternal life, for giving us your life, your glorious life. You have shared everything with us, Lord Jesus. We receive you, and our hearts recognize you. Amen. Well, it's been wonderful to celebrate Easter with you. We hope that your hearts are warmed. As Pope John Paul II said, do not abandon yourselves to despair. We are the Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. In just a moment, we will end our service with singing those hallelujahs together. And our prayer is that you continue to live as Easter people long after today is over. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Go with this blessing. As Christ's birth burst forth from the tomb, may new life burst forth from us and show itself in acts of love and healing to a hurting world. And now may that same Christ who lives forever and ever and is the source of our new life Keep your hearts rejoicing and grant you peace this day and always. And all God's people said, Amen.